Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Look, if Beef falls out of me or gets offended by anything I've got to put to him on this episode, then in my opinion, he's not steadfast enough in his own faith.
Well, there's no dinosaurs in the Bible, so the Bible's a load of tripe.
Jesus said, well, you ain't gonna find Jesus there because he got up.
The truth may not be what you were taught.
Hello, you're listening to the award-winning Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. Yeah. First time I remembered to mention that
Isn't
we won an award.
Yeah. After 3 months.
After 3 months. Right, I promised I'll do every episode, I just remembered. This is Bob Shoy. I have Beef.
Hey.
And I have Tiss.
Award-winning Tiss.
The award-winning Adam Tissington.
What award is that you've won?
Tons. I came second in the Donkey Derby once. That's quite high ranking. Everyone else fell off their donkey, I stayed on.
Did you really? Yeah. Is this a lie?
No, well, I come second.
What?
I got a ribbon at a Donkey Derby. A Donkey Derby at a carnival. Or
basically, you went to a farm and someone went, oh, look at that kid. Sorry, give him a rosette.
Nah, yeah. Came second. I would have come first.
Is that you? And then two other donkeys on the podium.
Yeah.
The podium one.
Two other Dutch donkeys.
They were the owners.
We weren't supposed to ride them. They were racing off their own accord.
And you just ran after him. Well, we got to give him a second.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm tired.
Tired.
This is, no, you're not. You're full of beans. You were just jumping around everywhere.
Yeah, that means I'm tired.
You've worn yourself out.
Full of beans, mate.
That means I'm tired in the future.
Right, okay. Yeah.
That means I'm tired in the future.
So what I've got tonight, I was going to do this as one episode, and then when I started digging into it in classic meme terms.
Bob style.
Yeah, I thought this has got to be two. And then when I started digging a bit more, I was like, it's got to be three.
Oh, it's got to be a three,
yeah. Yeah, it's a three. It's a trilogy.
Trilogy?
Yeah.
It's a three-part episode?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, we're going to be here till tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we're recording all three parts tonight.
Sweet.
And it might be a little controversial.
Leave that silence in.
Yeah.
The pause.
There's so much going through my head. I'm like, what kind of... So much is controversial right now.
Yeah.
I feel like living, like, right now... Anything's controversial, political, social.
This is the sort of topic, no matter how tactfully you approach it, we're going to get some negative feedback.
Cool.
And I'm hoping you guys can take tonight's topic with good grace, and the listeners can, and I'm going to try and hear all sides.
Okay.
Tiss, you know what it is? I did tell you when I was away.
It's a Holocaust denial.
No.
We've done that.
we already denied it. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I already know.
You know what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what I've, where I've dramatically pitched this is Bob versus B.
Yeah, this is why I've been so intrigued for the last week.
I've never done a conspiracy episode.
Yeah.
So tonight we're doing conspiracies of the church.
Ooh, okay.
This is why I've been playing up as Bob versus Beef.
Cool.
So this is for all the people, and I'm not, as people know, I identify as an atheist, but I don't bang on about it because I don't like the identity of atheism as it is, it's very ugly and unnecessary.
Yeah, I feel like instead of people just being atheists, some people wait for Richard Dawkins to come along and they're like, oh, I like that.
Mm.
That's what I believe in. And
really, he's a bit of a prat.
Kind of tainted it, because there's plenty of lovely atheists.
Thanks.
Including
and me.
Kind of proud of you, I suppose.
So this is also for the people who have listened to the spiritual episodes of the show as well. There's like the flip side of that, who have said, oh, there's supposed to be an atheist on the show. He's not atheist enough.
Mm.
Bam.
Here you are with your atheist.
This is our first.
Between your legs.
This is our first like atheism
balls out
episode.
The atheist
path.
Take so, throw the balls out with the atheist bathwater.
Some of these conspiracies are kind of silly,
right?
Some of them I think have weight. I tried to get a good balance. I was going to mystery board it, but I thought it'd be better to get a good flow with this one.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it.
Let's roll
cool.
it.
Let's roll it. Oh yeah, and the reason it's split into three, I was going to do conspiracies of the church, right?
Mm.
But there was just too much. So I'm not touching...
Church is full of conspiracies.
Yeah, I'm not touching the Mary Magdalene thing. Yeah, that's too big. That's a show in its own right.
Which
I want to start digging into that.
What's that?
The fact that Jesus was married.
Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene?
It's in the Da Vinci Code. It's like the plot of the Da Vinci Code.
Oh.
Right, anyway.
Did she give birth to
spoilers.
It as well?
No.
Okay, cool.
Well, the rumours are, but this is getting into that episode, the rumours are that it's... But that's for another episode. I'm going to cut that because that's for another episode.
Cool.
That's a conspiracy in its own right that's big enough for its own episode.
Hmm.
And then what was left, I was like, there's so much stuff just about the Vatican that is its own episode.
Hmm.
So this is just stuff. This is conspiracies of the Bible. Is this one? So you've got the Bible, the Vatican, and then Mary Magdalene.
So how do you feel, Tis, being kind of sitting very comfortably meditating on the fence? Because... Like, I want to say from the outright, no part of me feels like this is going to be stressful.
Good.
Or that I'm going
to... I don't want you to feel like I'm coming here attacking.
No, because I'm aware that the church isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have like a blinkered view of my faith. I understand it comes with flaws. So I'm just interested to know, I guess, Tis, are you just kind of ready to dive in.
I didn't know about the Mary Magdalene thing. That's quite interesting.
Well, that's its own episode later on.
I love conspiracy theories because you don't have to give stock to
them.
Yeah,
and some of these...
I just enjoy them as they are.
Some of these are really
sometimes
bonkers.
Sometimes you just never know, do you? And some of them are ridiculous.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to start off by playing a video because I can't be bothered to explain every single one of these. So I've got a couple of videos to play. So we've got a video to explain the first one I'm going to tackle.
Atheist.
Yeah. I didn't do my research, so I'm just going to say nothing exists. So here we go. This is the conspiracy theory that Jesus Christ was actually an alien.
Whoa.
Okay.
Amazing.
I thought Tis would like this one, so I'm going to start one that get Tis's...
I thought you were going to say Jesus Christ is actually an atheist.
Do you feel like, instead of being shafted with that, you've been given a gift with Jesus Christ as an alien?
I think both would be quite interesting. The alien one's more fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to explore Jesus.
I really want
to
hear this. This is but it's the same as any conspiracy program. Some of them are utter tripe. And some of them you can see where they come from.
I love them all. I love all the tripe. I love all the... Like Alex Jones, when it's just like, there's people on Mars, like child slaves on Mars and stuff like that. It's just nuts.
What?
Yeah.
Who says this?
Alex Jones.
Who's Alex Jones?
He's like a conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
Have you heard about this theory before about Jesus being an alien?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Right, okay. Well, let's have a look at the evidence.
You know it's a spiritual episode when you get this.
In January 2015, NASA discovered Kepler-438b, a planet 475 light-years away and a similar size to Earth, orbiting a star similar to our Sun in the hypothetical Goldilocks zone. The proposed optimal distance a planet needs to be from its star in order to harbour intelligent life. The possibility of aliens existing seems increasingly likely. With this in mind, since the 1960s there has been an attempt by some pseudo-scientists to reconcile traditional religious teachings with our increasing understanding of the universe we live in, and questioning the implications for the history of the human race, if we are not alone. UFOlogist Dr. Barry Downing is one of many people who believe that aliens have visited Earth and influenced our history and religions for millennia. Browning is also a Presbyterian minister, and he argues that the divine events depicted in the Bible are in fact evidence of extraterrestrial technologies that were misinterpreted by early humans. In fact, Browning goes so far as to say
that Jesus Christ was actually an alien. Downing identifies episodes in the Bible that are similar to modern UFO and alien encounters, like the world's purportedly oldest UFO sighting in the Book of Ezekiel. Downing further highlights evidence of extraterrestrial activity in the Gospel of St. Matthew from the New Testament, which reports a skyborn being descending to tell the wise men about the coming birth of Jesus, and suggests that the star that leads the wise men to the stables where Jesus is born is in fact a UFO that telepathically guided the wise men to Bethlehem. Downing also draws evidence from the biblical depiction of Mary's Immaculate Conception and the virgin birth of her son Jesus. Downing suggests that Jesus' embryo was implanted into Mary by aliens, whilst other theories suggest that she was inseminated with alien sperm and Jesus was an alien-human hybrid. Visited by the angel Gabriel, Mary is told that she will have an important son. Downing suggests that this exchange Mary has with Gabriel was in fact an alien encounter. Other ufologists draw comparisons with Mary's virgin birth and modern alien abduction reports, where women recall becoming spontaneously pregnant after an alien encounter. However, this phenomenon has not been proven by modern science. The most compelling evidence for the Jesus alien theory is the biblical reports of Jesus' miracles. The Bible says that at age 30, Jesus left his work as a carpenter to embark on a 3-year mission to preach his wisdom to humanity and advocate social change. During this mission, Jesus performs a series of miracles, which Christian churches consider proof that Jesus was a divine Messiah and the Son of God. It is documented in the Bible that Jesus had the power to control nature, walk on water, and even raise the dead. Biblical ufologists believe that it is more logical to attribute these miracles to advanced alien powers rather than a divine power. This alien power, Downing argues, is also what allowed Jesus to resurrect himself after being crucified on the cross. Furthermore, Jesus' ascension from the earth is argued to be a depiction of a return to his home planet. Most intriguingly, Dowling also stresses the importance of Jesus' own biblical admission, that he is literally not of this world, as proof that the divine is in fact extraterrestrial.
The first reaction of some religious people, what I would call Christian conservatives, is one of worry and fear, I think.
Unfortunately for Barry Downing and his followers, there is no proof to verify any of his claims about Jesus being an alien. But whilst debates around Jesus usually center around whether biblical accounts should be taken as literal fact or metaphorical truth, Mark Bennett, a member of the Aetherius Society, argues that it makes much more sense to many people to say that Jesus was an interplanetary being who came to Earth to help mankind, than to say that God created a one and only Son who was also himself at a random point in history, who came to Earth and forgave people their sins for some reason we don't really know.
What do you think about that?
Lots of things, really. Lots of things and nothing. Because it... Go on, what are you going to say?
No, nothing. No, go on.
It's very flaky, and I don't really understand why a minister... the agenda of a minister would be to make these statements. Is it because he's trying to kind of chummy up to the pseudoscientists, like he says, and trying to interweave science and the Bible, which they can cohabit, they can coexist together without him making those claims anyway.
Yeah. But I think also what he's saying is is there much difference in believing that someone came from an alien planet and did those things as someone came from heaven and did those things? Is there much difference in that?
This is what I was thinking in my head. I was thinking, well, do you know what? If people would want to believe that,
does it really change that?
It doesn't change anything because it doesn't change the mission that Jesus had.
But it does change the idea of him being the Son of God.
Well, it does, but that's one part of doctrine. But there are some other people who would affiliate themselves with a Christian faith and still not believe that he's the Son of God.
Right. Okay.
You know, Jews don't believe he's the Son of God. Or they don't believe he's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that we're, you know, light years away from the same truth? No, not at all. I think, you know, if you're still believing in the hope that in the message of the Gospels, in what Jesus came to say, I don't know. I don't think it's that harmful. I think if people want to believe that, that's fine. But I don't, I, yeah, it's...
the video started really good. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that makes some interesting points.
I'm trying to see where he's coming from. But yeah. It's too flaky.
But then about halfway through, it's like, there's no proof for anything.
Yeah, there's no proof for any of this. There's no evidence to support this claim.
What do you think, Jesse?
Well, when he said there's no evidence to support he's an alien,
yeah.
I thought, is there any evidence to support that he's a human?
That's a good point.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, there is. There's more evidence. There's more documented evidence or more copies of the historical data that was recorded at the time of Jesus' birth. So you can follow it back, and you won't be able to find a historian on the planet. You won't be able to find many historians on the planet that would disagree and say he wasn't human. There's too much information that would state that he was. It's whether people believe who he was. So most people, you know, any historian worth their... I'm going to make this claim right now. Any historian worth their salt would not be able to deny that Jesus Christ was an actual person that was born and that lived on this planet and existed. But well, what people would disagree with is, was he the Son of God? Was he the Messiah? Was he the Chosen One? Is he someone who has come to forgive all our sins? So there's much, much, much more evidence for him being a human.
Well, there you go. They should have said that. They should have been there's no...
Well, hang on a sec.
Okay.
We'll come to that later, because I've got some things later on in the episode which are to the contrary of that.
Okay.
But I think that's what I mean by it being flaky, is when he says... He makes all these claims and relates it to Jesus walking on water and controlling the winds and the waves and miracles and all these things. And then he says, there's no evidence to support these claims. But
what I would say is that
it's an interesting idea.
There's exceptionally no evidence to support the claims that aliens could even do those things.
What I found weird as well.
It brings me back to what I've said time and again on alien episodes. Why do we assume that aliens are more technologically advanced than
They have superpowers? He said these could be effects of their alien powers.
Basically,
to do it in his voice.
He's basically saying that the Jesus is Clark Kent.
Yeah.
He's an alien come to this planet.
I've got someone else who's going to compare him to Clark Kent later on as well.
Maybe Superman is Jesus.
So I don't want to linger too much on the alien thing. I thought I'd start with one that's a little bit wacky, like some of the conspiracies we've heard before. And I've got some even more silly ones. The sillier ones
that's
are
not
gonna...
too silly. I didn't.
No,
think
that's
that
was not too silly. I've got some silly
it's
ones.
It's a good one for us to dip our toes in the water.
Yeah,
with.
I've got some silly ones. I just want to touch on quickly because there's some meatier stuff towards the back half of the episode. So number two, and Beef, I'll be interested to see if because I feel like some of these I might say, and you'll be like, oh yeah, that old one sort of thing. So there are dinosaurs in the Bible.
There are no dinosaurs in the Bible I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Book of Job, ringing a bell?
Well, it depends.
Job.
the book of Job. Go on. I mean, it depends how people interpret text, I suppose.
Okay, this is on Cracked, so you know it's good.
Right, it's obviously
gospel. And the article is insane but convincing theories about stuff in the Bible. I've only taken one from this website. And all these websites and videos and stuff are going to be on our website with TalesOfTheUnexplainable.com if you want to read through them for yourself, because there's a lot of nonsense that I'm not going to talk about in this episode. Okay, so here it says here, the book of Job is generally agreed to be the oldest book in the Bible. Parts of it have been dated back to before the 6th century BC. It's the story of a guy who had a really bad day, and it features these verses in which God tells Job about a giant creature called a behemoth. Mm. Right? And this is a quote from the Bible.
Yeah.
Behold, behemoth, which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold, his strength in his loins and his power in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs like bars of iron. Okay?
Stegosaurus.
Over the years, mainstream Christian scholars have claimed that God is describing a river crocodile or hippopotamus. But it says here, but come on, guys. Neither of those things are tall like a cedar. Others say it's an imaginary creature, but that's not really satisfactory either, because you'd think the creator of the universe would be more imaginative and give the thing antlers and wings made of horses or something. Flavor text. But yeah, what do you think about that being a dinosaur in the Bible?
Wait, what were they saying it was then? They never said what they thought it was. What they can't just say, oh, it's not one of those things without saying
they think it's a dinosaur.
Yeah, but what dinosaur? There's millions.
Well, probably from the description of that, I would say
was going to say Stegosaurus.
I don't know. I was going to say a Brachiosaurus or something, or Diplodocus, or one of the long, tall, strong-tailed things.
Such a funny word.
Yeah.
So what do you give that anyway? Some of these aren't really conspiracies. They're more just weird things.
It's just how people interpret it. I mean, there's no harm if people want to, because that is something that quite a lot of people would attack the Bible and say, oh, there's no dinosaurs in the Bible, so the Bible was a load of tripe.
Mm-hmm.
but again, it's, you know, the Bible was never made to be, it's not a science book. There's nothing about atoms in the Bible, or DNA, or, I don't know, like how we breathe in and out and how our bodies, there's nothing about any of that in the Bible. There's nothing about reproduction and how it's your more sperm morals, works. Right? It's a history book.
So you would say people that take everything too literally?
You could do, not because Job is about, so obviously Job is going through, it's almost like he was cursed. He was like the devil came and basically made like a wager with God and said, bet I can get Job to give up on you. I bet I can do some really nice
right, stuff. Okay, pushed him.
And God says, all right, go on then. So he allows Job to be put through all this stuff, but Job comes through still like believing in God and having his hope and having his faith, even though he'd been tested so much. So people use that text about the behemoth and say that is a metaphor for God saying, you should have more faith in me. I can look at what I can create. Look at the power I have. You should have more faith in me because if I can create something like this, I can create.
See, he could have just, another reading of that could be just like you say, he's saying, look what I can do. And he's like, look at this. And he just makes some huge behemoth thing right there and then. And then he just disappears it away. He's just making a point.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know. And you can read into it as much as you like, really. I don't think there's any harm in thinking that could be a dinosaur.
What I heard, the only thing I think of with Christians and dinosaurs is I've heard a lot of times where people say, what about dinosaurs?
Mm.
And I've heard the Christian response as that those bones were put under the earth by the devil to test people's faith.
No.
Do you think that's ridiculous?
Yeah.
But there's going to be people who listen to this who think that's the case, and they're the people that are going to get angry at us for this episode.
Well, that's cool. And I'm happy for people to tweet me, to to email in. You know, if that's what you believe, I'm not... if that's what you believe, then that's fine. Again, it probably doesn't take away from a lot of the Bible's doctrine, so I
have a problem with that. I actually think that dinosaurs invent the devil to keep God on his toes.
Yeah, it's plausible.
If that's what you choose to believe.
Fine, go for it.
I do.
But yeah, right. Tweet in messages. If that's what you believe, I'm happy for people to tell me what they think, because I'm interested.
And also, I'm definitely not an expert in any of this. Like this, I had to spend 2 days reading this stuff because I know nothing about the Bible. And I really wanted to do this episode as a conspiracies episode. So I might be getting some of these facts completely wrong. And Beef can't know everything, so he might mess up on a correction to me. In which case, correct us. That's just fine.
Mm.
And if I'm missing really good ones, let me know, because it's only part one. So yeah, we're going to keep rattling through these ones at the beginning. This isn't really a conspiracy, but an interesting idea. The rib.
Yeah.
Yeah, Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
What did God do with a rib in the Garden of Eden?
Took the rib out of Adam and made Eve, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
Because didn't need a rib, did he? Had three ribs.
How about this? God made Eve not from Adam's rib, but from his penis bone.
Mm. Penis bone?
Mm. That's why we don't have a penis bone, and most our mammals do.
They have penis bones?
Mm.
What? So they somehow, all animals do.
Not most mammals. Even if it's a tiny little, like even a monkey has like a tiny little bone in its cock.
Doesn't a dog have like a little...
Don't know.
Well, he's got a lipstick, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't want to think about that. But most mammals will have a bone, a penis bone, and we don't. And we don't have an odd number of ribs, so a lot of people are suggesting that...
It was the penis bone.
The penis bone is what he took from us to create Eve.
Okay.
What do you think about this?
That's incredibly offensive.
What, you're made from a penis? We're all made from a penis, mate.
No, but I'm not.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Women are.
When you're born, you're made from a penis. When you're conceived.
No, I just mean that. I just don't know.
Okay, this is what it says.
This is ridiculous.
You came from spermatozoa.
That's your home planet.
Came.
So this is performed by Professor Zevitt, and this was actually on the front cover of quite a respectable magazine, I think.
Crack.
No, this was this is an article on the Daily Mail website, but which is the best reading I could find. I had all the information needed, but this guy's theory, when he came out of it, was on the front cover of Biblical Archaeology Review magazine. And this is what it says. Okay, so the theory put forward by revered biblical possessor Zioni Zevitt. What a crazy name. Imagine having ZZ as your initials.
Yeah. ZZ Top.
Suggests that God made Eve from Adam's baculum, or penis bone. To support his theory, Professor Zevitt said that the Hebrew word selah, taken from the Old Testament, does not translate as rib, and instead refers to limbs sticking out sideways from an upright human body. The word selah appears a number of times and in different contexts in the Old Testament, and Professor Zevitt said that this is what led translators astray. He claims that the word was used for any part of the anatomy protruding from the body, including feet, arms, and penis. Professor Zevitt said that this explains why man has no baculum, unlike most mammals, and why men don't have an uneven number of ribs compared to women. Elsewhere, he added that Genesis 2:21, in which God closes the flesh beneath the selah, refers to the flesh that exists on the underside of the penis. So, you know, this is getting graphic about the male human body. You got that, like, seam, haven't you, underneath?
Yeah.
He's saying that's where God closed the skin up, as it is described in the Bible.
Right.
Defending his theory, he wrote that his understanding of how Eve was formed is based on analysis of the use of Hebrew in the garden story. So, what do you think about that?
But we all didn't have our bones taken out, so why have we all got Gucci?
No, but we're all from Adam, aren't
carbon
we?
Carbon copies.
We're all Adam.
Nah, if I cut my leg and had a kid, it wouldn't have a fucking cut on its leg. It'd be brand new.
Oh, and I suppose under that theory, that's why we don't all need to have an uneven number of ribs. But I thought the idea is that Adam represents the entire of man.
Yeah.
Well, I think he had a Gucci before God did whatever he did.
No, he had a Gucci, but you know, the seam.
I still think the banjo string was there originally. I don't think it emulated Adam's banjo.
So this guy, this professor, is weighing all his theory on defining the word sailor. Can I just confirm the word sailor is spelled S-E-L-A-H?
No, T-S. T-S. Sailor. T-S-E-L-A or T-Z-E-L-A sometimes. Sailor.
Oh, right. Okay. I got it wrong. Okay. Because I was thinking, if there's a Hebrew word, selah, S-E-L-A-H, which means, right, like, pause. Like,
oh, stop. Right, no, this is okay. No, this is an old Hebrew word, T-S-E-L-A or T-Z-E-L-A.
Again, the idea is that Eve was made out of Adam's bone.
Okay, right.
So if we just break it down and say it's not rib, it's just a bone.
Right.
Theologically speaking, the idea is that Eve was taken from man, mm-hmm, because man and woman, when they come together as a couple, they become one.
Right.
So that's the idea, is that God created mankind
man
to be equal. Now, that's another episode, sure.
What if there's that homosexuality discussion episode?
Discussion, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what I think of that.
No. I just had to bring it up.
It's an interesting idea. I think it's... surely the idea is you're still... there was a bone taken from Adam, so I don't know.
Yeah, there's not much we can say about it. I just wanted to bring it up. And this is the next one is another one there's not much to say on. I just want to blast through it because it's kind of ridiculous. And this is on listverse.com. Links are on the website. And this is wacky biblical conspiracy theories, and they're all trash. I took one from it. This was the best one on this list, and this is rubbish.
Right.
So,
well, it is listverse.
Yeah. So this is number 8 on the list, and it's Jesus called Barack Obama Satan.
Jesus called him Satan?
Yeah.
What, back in the day?
Yeah.
How would he know?
Well, this is... I'll read it.
Is he...
He wasn't born yet.
It's no... Yeah, but Jesus, he has alien powers, mate.
So he warns us about Barack Obama. Okay, if everyone believes that, no one's going to call their kid Barack Obama, right?
Right, this is what it says. Tell me if you think it's tenuous, then.
It's tenuous.
It's no secret that Obama isn't exactly the most popular president in history. Not the least popular.
I don't think
quite a popular president.
He's popular amongst us.
Yeah. Too warmongering for lefties and too... I don't think he's very warmongering. And too socialist for those on the right. He's clearly got a few problems. The biggest of those may be that Jesus once openly referred to him as Satan.
And that's not the least of your problems.
It then goes on to say, it's true.
Go on.
Luke 10:18 in full reads... And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's a quote. Now, if you incorrectly translate that sentence into Hebrew, the words lightning and heaven become bark and barma, or shemayin if you do it correctly. Say them fast enough and it sounds like Barack Barma, and then in turn sounds like Barack Obama.
Oh, this is bollocks.
Meaning...
No.
Meaning...
Flip it around.
No.
I hate this. I hate when people like... If you say it like this, it sounds like that.
Yeah. Jesus didn't interpret that. He's too fucking literal.
Meaning that Jesus just heavily implied that the 44th president of the United States is literally Satan.
Why? For what reason?
I don't know.
Oh, this is crap.
Like I say, this is rubbish.
Nah, Jesus. That was the best one on a list of how many?
10. That's, and it's the only one I'm including in my episode all about conspiracy theories of the Bible.
God, that gives you a really Sassy good idea Jesus. Of how crap.
Do you want me to just like say the titles of some of his other ones?
Give me like three.
God owns an awesome spaceship.
Amazing. An awesome spaceship. Well, does he also own a shit one then? Ones, by yeah. definition.
The Bible is a computer program.
What? What?
Jesus invented the internet.
Amazing. Wasn't it that guy?
The Bible contains evidence of time travel.
Oh, this hurts my
head.
Wasn't
it that guy? No, it's that guy.
Wasn't it that guy that doth speak it?
Noah came from Mars.
He didn't.
Came from Mars?
Yeah.
Was he some sort of collector?
Yeah, so this is why I didn't take any more off this first website.
You're right, that probably was the best one, but it was still pretty awful.
It's rubbish, right?
I liked all of them.
Okay, this
is... I hate that.
This isn't,
if you say this and you do that...
This isn't a conspiracy, this next one. And a lot of these ones near the beginning haven't been very conspiratorial. They're just interesting things I found about the Bible. Things I found out, the truths behind the Bible. This is an interesting fact, and I wanted to know what you thought of this before, if you know this. Is this true that Jesus invented the chair?
Jesus invented the chair?
Yeah.
Because he's a carpenter?
Yeah, he invented the chair.
Fuck off. What a career.
Where's this been
30,
taken
from? Invented a chair, and then it becomes been... just like...
So someone's taking something from the Bible?
It's in The Passion of the Christ, it's in the film, there's a scene of him inventing the chair. I watched it today.
No.
Well, is it a good film?
I didn't watch the whole film. I watched the scene of him inventing the chair.
See, the Passion
and underneath
of Christ,
the comments were like, even people who love this film say this is kind of a silly scene.
Yeah, it's
Hollywood.
As far as the film goes,
it's quite accurate though, isn't it?
It's pretty accurate, and that so it splits people.
I didn't realise it was like all in Hebrew until I watched that thing today.
But it's even the crucifixion scenes and like him being. Like taking the whip and all that stuff, and standing before Pontius Pilate. Like, it's all pretty accurate.
But him inventing the chair.
And that's why some people hate it, because they feel it's like it's blasphemous.
Oh, right, okay.
Like,
to
well, no,
it's
not blasphemous.
Something.
That's what a crucifixion looks like. Yeah. Man up.
Okay.
Carry on. Sorry. So Jesus. What? Jesus invented
the
chair.
It's not a conspiracy theory. I just saw it today and I was like, is this true?
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything in the Bible.
Apparently, tables
that.
Were like low then and everyone sat on the floor. And then there's a scene.
My back is killing me.
There's a scene, and I'm not going to play it.
My back of dog killeth me.
I'm not going to play the scene because it's all in Hebrew, so people listening won't understand.
Yeah, it's Passion of the Christ, all in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's sick.
It looked actually pretty cool, like the scene I saw.
It's a good film. I would
is that
recommend
what they were spoken
it.
In Rome? Hebrew.
Well, back then, that's what they would have spoken.
Really?
Yeah.
When did English come into it, then?
What, into the Bible?
No, like, what, the world?
Well, Jesus wasn't born in England.
No, obviously. But English is, like, a proper popular language.
English is a really old language, but even that has changed. English
would have been, like, Latin then, yeah.
And it came from, like, a combination of, like, Latin and Greek, didn't it?
We've got fucking fingers in every pie. We've got German in our language, we've got French, we've got Latin, we've got it all.
He's on Yahoo Answers.
Well, did Jesus
best
invent
answer.
The,
no.
Did Jesus invent the chair?
Yeah, no.
Well, the scene in the film that I watched today, the woman's sitting at a chair doing some knitting or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Much older civilizations have used them, so...
And he's making, carpeting, whatever, building a table. And she comes out and she's like, hey, this table's too tall.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, no, you're sitting like this. And he hasn't built the chair yet, but he's enacts like sitting at it.
I remember that.
Yeah, and she's like, no, this will never catch on. And he's like, you'll see.
Yeah, that's daft. That's artistic license. I'm pretty sure you're
right. It's like the director, was it Mel Gibson who made it?
Yeah,
he like he was like,
did he write and direct it?
Yeah, I think so. It's like we need to make Jesus look even better.
He also invented chairs. He saved the whole of human race. He also invented chairs.
Yeah, it's like when Homer invented that chair that you don't fall off.
Oh yeah, and he saw it, didn't he? See like picture.
Edison had already invented it.
Yeah, yeah, it's disaster. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to ask if you'd heard.
Say it's an old like that. Surely that's been around for like centuries.
Like the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
In some way, even if it was like a stool, that's not a chair.
I feel like our natural alignment would be like, oh, this is a bit uncomfortable. Let's make something that sits us up this high.
But if you go to Japan, a lot of them play a lot of that slot on the floor.
Yeah, but their backs hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe they
their backs.
Maybe
hurt.
They renounced.
That's why they stand up on chairs.
Everywhere I went, there I had to sit on the floor.
Maybe they renounced them because they're just expensive, isn't it? Like, yeah. Imagine you start a restaurant up, you got an expenditure.
Is it one of those things like
save on wood with the legs?
Bamboo shit on the floor.
I'd forgotten about that scene.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Passion of the Christ.
No. We talked about it a lot when I was in Romania. We said we were going to get together and watch it.
Yeah, I really want to watch it.
Yeah, good.
I'd be interested to watch it.
It's a good film. It's alright.
Alright, okay. So now we're going to move on to some of the more serious topics.
Okay. Some big issues.
Gird your loins.
How do you gird your loins?
I don't know. I watched a sermon about girding your loins.
You watched a sermon?
I watched loads of sermons today. It was really, they were all daft.
I'd love to know what sermons you watched, but tell me.
They were all started, and I was like actually going to play some of them on the show, but they all ended with like them saying that, you know, homosexuals are damned and stuff like that. It all went like way over the line, like halfway through. I was always like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Were they all Americans?
Yeah, and there is one I'm going to play later on.
Let me correct something, because I know a lot of Americans listen. That sounds like I'm slagging it off. Just people think that we're British and Americans are very alike. We're not. And people also think that British and American Christianity is very similar. Not at all.
Please. Yeah.
So
I feel like we don't have the same anti-homosexuality extremism here in England. There's obviously some, but not as much, I don't think.
But well, we've said this before. You get extremes of everything.
Yeah. It was quite a shocking, some of the sermons. And everyone's cheering when he's saying stuff, and it was quite shocking to me. But I'm a left wing pussy. Bible, so
a lot of the stuff that's in the Bible is
divided. Some sermons I was watching today.
Okay,
So
I feel like I need to give you some good stuff now to count.
I'm sure there was good stuff. I know I did see good stuff, and I was like, yeah, I can get on board with what these people are saying and what they're preaching and stuff. But okay, so this is a bit more shocking, not shocking, but controversial. Jesus did not die on the cross.
Okay. But he lived the whole time.
He was put on the cross. He didn't die on it.
You reckon he went into hyperactive sleep?
They took him down after he passed out.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is I'm taking this from McSweeney's.net, and this is an article that someone's written where they've got conspiracy claims, and then they've got the debunking claim, and then they then go back and rebunk the debunk claim.
Oh, imagine being killed on a cross.
Yeah, it's rough.
Then they say, like, your ribs, like, drop, and you just, like, if you can't put any weight on your feet, you're just, like, hanging there, just like, ah, oh, fuck, but you don't die.
And you're hanging there from a nail as well.
You die from suffocation.
Is it?
Yeah.
But after your body gives in to the weight of you, because sometimes you stiffen up for a bit, don't you?
Yeah, it's the pressure, it's just the pressure. It's too much for your lungs. So, like, some people say it's similar to, like, drowning, but it's like, takes a long time for it to kick in.
But drowning is like a peaceful way to die. It's like a horrible version of drowning.
Yeah.
They say drowning is supposed to be like the best way to die.
Really?
Yeah.
I nearly drowned once.
Is it right?
Yeah, I mean...
Beef did as well when he fell off that raft.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned it before.
I still swim, so...
Yeah.
Didn't mess me up too much.
Okay, so the conspiracy claim about the cross... Roman soldiers only assumed Jesus had died during the crucifixion, when in actuality he merely fainted and was taken down from the cross. Thus, the resurrection was merely Jesus regaining consciousness, not a mythical return from the dead proving Jesus' claim as the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm. How many days after did he resurrect himself?
Three. Possible to go into a three-day coma?
I heard that he put himself into, like, a deep meditation to the point where he literally was just like...
And they thought he was dead?
They thought he was dead, yeah.
Interesting. The debunking claim for that...
I don't know where I heard that.
...is that Roman law was very precise and thorough regarding crucifixions, and that there wouldn't be a possibility that Jesus would be removed from the cross while still alive. That's the debunking claim.
Okay.
And especially if someone such like a high-profile crucifixionist as that, I think that would be doubly sure.
Like Rasputin.
But the rebunking claim on this website is, and this is a kind of cynical view at the church, looking at church as a business, which is a major criticism of the church in general. Whether Jesus died or survived his time hanging out on the cross is irrelevant. What mattered to the church is that he was on the cross. Why? Where do you think the Catholic Church's money, rumoured to be around $15 billion, comes from? Real estate holdings and investments in banking? Oh, ye of little faith and even less knowledge. It's mainly from selling crucifixes and crosses. The religion aspect is nice and everything, but the church is all about the merch.
I don't know anything. I'm just going to say right now, mm-hmm. My knowledge of Catholicism is very, very
minimal. I didn't think it would...
did they say anything about the Roman soldiers piercing his side?
It did. It doesn't say about that on here. Because I did forget about that, though, yeah.
So they pierce his side?
Yes.
And the... So the...
yeah, because he's always got gashes under his
feet. So the evidence... So if someone's died, their water and their blood separates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Roman soldiers would do to check that they'd actually died, was they'd give them a jab in the side, pierce them, and you could see, like, you can see it coming out. So that's...
So that's like their test.
So that would be like an evidence for someone being dead, yeah.
Hmm.
But in just a little something you might find interesting, a lot of the reasons why people don't believe in the resurrection is because a lot of the accounts of people witnessing his resurrection came from women.
Right.
And women...
Notorious liars.
Easy. No, at the time, women were not allowed to give witness or any testimony in court.
Oh.
So they weren't... They were like shepherds. Like, that's why when you look at the nativity story, you think, well, why would God choose to use shepherds when no one would believe them? They don't believe their testimonies because they're considered the lowest of the lows. Like, shepherds were like scum.
Mm-hmm.
And women, like, women weren't considered scum, but they just weren't given the same, you wouldn't believe a woman because they wouldn't have that same claim. So that's why people don't believe, well, that's why quite a few people wouldn't believe in the resurrection, or they would use that historical evidence against the Bible. But, yeah, I would, my question to that theory or to that conspiracy is what would they say to the piercing the side?
Yeah, it doesn't mention that.
But, yeah, just why would, like, I don't know, again, why would they do that? Why would the Roman soldiers do that? Like, he was hated. Like, so many people wanted to see Jesus die.
Unless, like Tis said, he went into that deep meditative state.
Yeah.
I don't know where I heard that. I heard it somewhere. And I was just like, oh, that's interesting.
And this website, oh, sorry, Karen. Oh,
I nearly found out. I nearly remembered where I...
This website had some interesting stuff on it. And it was interesting getting the conspiracy, the debunk, and then the rebunk, and him analysing and taking both and then saying what he thought at the end. But some of it got, like, a little bit silly. Some of his rebunks, like, he was just trying to go for, like, a comedy answer. And I was like, but some of your other ones are so intelligently written. And then it would just be, like, something like, oh, Dan Brown is Jesus or something like that. I'm like, what? That's just silly. Why are you saying that? Your points were so intelligent.
But the Catholicism thing is... People are always going to criticise the Catholic Church, always, because it's had so many, like any faith, like anything really.
That there's a lot of dirty little secrets.
Yeah, so people will hold on to those things, and that will become their gospel truth. So, but I just think it's an interesting idea, but there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of evidence. There doesn't seem to be much weight to it. There seems to be too many, why would they do that? So...
There were some interesting stuff on that page. I'm not going to read any more from that article. If you want to find it, it's on mcsweeneys.net. It was an article written by Keaton Patty called, the article was just called Jesus Conspiracies. But there was some interesting stuff on it, if you want to have a look, and that will be on the blog.
Jesus as a link. Conspiracies.
I feel like David Blaine said it. I feel like in a lead up to one of his tricks, he was saying that he learned from someone, and he said that Jesus might have used this to resurrect himself later by making...
You're right, I have seen David Blaine say that.
Dead.
But David Blaine also put himself in a box above the Thames and, like, sat in there for days with his own crap.
40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing? 40 days, 40 nights?
Yeah.
It's Lent, isn't it?
Lent.
Is Lent 40 days and 40 nights?
No, but did David Blaine stay in that glass cube above the Thames for 40 days and 40 nights?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He gave up life for Lent.
Was that what it is? What's 40 days, 40 nights?
40 nights is Lent, isn't it? 40 days and 40 nights. You give up something for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
Like the Ashton Kutcher movie, he gives up sex. That's
very believable. Yeah, a lot of people say that fasting is quite beneficial. So to fast.
Well, it depends on, like, that's why people get really upset about Ramadan, because it's, like, a lot of people would say that that's not a healthy way to fast.
No, it seems too extreme.
All the way through the... It's because it's the summer months, but fasting is like a discipline that you should choose to do, and you might have personal reasons for it.
There's a guy I found online who's 88, he's vegan, and he looks like a good 50-year-old, and he eats once every 24 hours. So he says he fasts.
Yeah.
No, he eats like...
He sits down at a buffet.
Natural, that's not good for you.
No.
He's 88, vegan, and built like a brick shithouse. Tell him that.
Yeah, but this is what I say to you. There's always an anomaly. It's like when you get someone who's 120 and they smoke 20 fags every day.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not saying it. One rule fits everyone.
Well, you get those footballers.
You can't take an anomaly and say, like, this is what you should do because this guy did it.
It's like people saying, I don't do exercise because these professional footballers die on the pitch.
I wouldn't say everyone should do it. I'm just saying that fasting isn't quite what people think it is.
Fasting's a discipline. It shouldn't, like...
Can be good.
In my opinion, fasting shouldn't be seen as a religious... as something you have to do. Fasting should be a choice that you make to discipline.
Do you give up stuff for Lent?
No.
I've never given anything
up
in my life.
It seems too kitschy. Like, people do it as, like...
Yeah. It's like New Year's resolutions, isn't it?
I make the same...
Yeah, but only because I want to. I'm not like, I'm giving this up. I just don't do stuff that I want to do it anymore.
Like, I make the same joke every year. I'm like, I'm giving up pancakes for Lent.
That's a good joke.
Right?
Is that a beefy original, or do you take it from someone?
No, the reason we eat pancakes on pancake day is to use up all the leftovers that you'd have.
Oh.
Things that would go bad, like
before?
No, before
Lent, then you lose everything up, you eat your pancakes.
So Shrove Tuesday is pancake day, you get rid of it, and then Ash Wednesday, the day after, is
when you've got the shits from all that. You pebble ash the back of the toilet with all your pancake runoffs.
Shraved your pants.
Runoffs.
Shrove pews day. Let's go.
Crapping in the pews, is that what you're getting at?
Pews day.
Shrove pews day. Oh, pews day.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like pew, like a church pew.
Okay, alright.
Go on.
What's the beard and the thing? Is that like a...
That's our depiction of Jesus.
Do they describe what he looks like in the Bible?
Not really. The only if you look, there's.
But he wasn't white, was he?
No,
they just made him white to make him more appealable to the masses.
He would have been like Mediterranean.
Yeah,
he was born in the Middle East, so he'd have had
dark,
that complexion.
Brown.
He wouldn't have been black.
No,
he'd
have been brown.
He wouldn't have been white. So, no, the white, the long hair and the beard—that's our idea of that's like our depiction of Jesus. That's a stereotype. That's what we would assume. But because
so, like, he looked like Tiss.
I had someone shout out of their car window, "Oi, mate, you Jesus!"
Yeah, mate. When I had longer hair,
didn't stop.
That's why I used to get it every day. If you have long hair and a beard, you get called Jesus.
Yeah. I don't even have a beard.
There's a picture of some science lab has
seen what Jesus looks like. They saw this today.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, he doesn't got long hair. He's got a way broader face than you'd expect.
Hasn't got a beard.
He has got a beard in the picture.
Could he grow a beard?
If I just Google Jesus, is that
good? If you did Jesus' face, it came up so much when I was looking.
Because this is a scientist has looked into this, haven't they? They've looked at the complexion and facial features and...
I was going to bring this up, but I didn't.
This one actually does look like you, Tiss.
That really looks like me. That's really fucked up.
It's weird.
That's super weird. That is so mean.
Is that the depiction of what he looked like? No, I've seen the one. He looks more like a caveman.
Is it this one?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, it's similar to that.
Brutus. Yeah. Looks like fucking Julius Caesar.
The only scripture that kind of gives you an idea of what Jesus looked like, it pretty much says that there was nothing extraordinary, there's nothing like that would you'd look at him and be like, that's Jesus.
He was a variety man.
A Jewish man. The reason that we give him long hair and a beard is because Jewish people wouldn't have cut their hair.
Right.
I think. I'm pretty sure on that. Again, my Judaism knowledge is poor, but I'm pretty sure Jewish people at that time, the custom was, and I think it still is, that you can't cut your hair. If you're Jewish, let us know.
But what are them little doodles?
What are they called?
Real Jesus, fake Jesus.
No, that's what they, some people would say he would have more reasonable for him to have looked like
and
that.
And that is just...
fake Jesus.
That's like Kings of Leon, remember?
Yeah. It's like one of your ancestors.
Outro music this week. Right, Beef, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did Jesus believe in reincarnation?
I don't think so. Don't know. Go on.
Some say that Jesus believed in and taught reincarnation.
And taught reincarnation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go on.
There's a book called Reincarnation in Christianity by someone called Geddes McGregor. And it suggests that Origen, have you heard of Origen? Origen? He's a third century theologian.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Am I saying that right? Origen.
Origen, I think.
Origen, yeah. Right. He wrote texts to support belief in reincarnation, but they were suppressed.
Yeah. He had, like, I think it's Gnostic opinion. So he was Gnostic. He believed that the gods are real, but they don't, they don't interact with us.
Right, okay.
And we should do what we want to do. And we should live to have, a happy...
I did look a little bit into the Gnostic stuff today, but it was, down another, long rabbit hole, which I didn't have enough time. Yeah,
Gnostics
are
mad. Gnostics...
Essentially, Gnostics are a Bart Simpson ideology. Just, if it feels good, do it.
Look, Mark, I'm a musician, in case you'd forgotten. Yeah, I answer to a higher law. The law of, if it feels good, do it.
Oh, that's a great law, isn't it? What's that? Gaddafi's law?
It's the musician's law.
Right.
They used to have, mushroom parties.
They were, pretty laid back people.
Well, many think that there was originally loads of mentions of reincarnation within the Bible. Mm. But they were removed because it didn't fit in line with the view of the Christianity that the Romans and the church wanted. So they removed all mentions of reincarnation from the Bible. Many also think that Jesus not only did believe in reincarnation, but that he thought John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah or Elijah. Is that Elijah or Elijah?
Elijah.
Yeah.
Is that referring to any biblical...
Yeah, I've got some texts here that suggest that.
Yeah, what is it? I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I know what you're talking about.
This is on beliefnet.com.
BeliefNet. It's all net. ChristianNet.com.
So this is the quote from the Bible that suggests Jesus is... what was it? He thought
John the Baptist was a reincarnation of Elijah, yeah.
So this belief is based on Malachi 4:5. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And the Bible is explicit in this. It says, they ask him, saying, why is it that the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he said to them, Elijah does first come and restore all things. And yet how it is written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt. But I say to you that Elijah has indeed come, and they did to him whatever they wished, just as is written of him. So he's saying, Elijah has come, it's John. He also says, if you're willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. So Jesus actually says that in the Bible. John is Elijah. Mm. His disciples asked him, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist.
Mm.
Cool.
John the Baptist baptized Jesus.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Good.
So what do you think about that, Jesus?
So
do you think that's any weight to the fact that Jesus believed him to be the reincarnation?
I see where people are coming from, but commonly people would think, or people would argue, and there'd be a lot of evidence for this, because usually Jesus spoke, the reason Jesus spoke in... a lot of the time in metaphor or picture language.
In riddles.
Is because there are a lot of people who, at the time, if he'd have come right out and said exactly what he was saying, then he'd have been imprisoned.
A bit like Nostradamus.
Well, yeah.
Nostradamus spoke in riddles because what he was saying was blasphemous.
Was a big pill for people to swallow.
Yeah.
So that's the reason. And so the idea is that, so Jesus spoke in these ways to engage the right people without angering and infuriating the wrong people. You know what I mean? So a lot of people would say, and I would agree with this, is that he was saying to these people that John the Baptist is their Elijah. So Elijah is probably the most famous prophet in the Bible.
Right.
If you read Elijah, a lot of it is foretelling Jesus and him coming and being on the planet, you know, all that kind of stuff. And not being on the planet, but, you know, foretelling Jesus being the Messiah. And that's what John the Baptist did as well. So when people were asking him about Elijah, they were asking him about the message that Elijah brought.
There is a contradiction to that, though, in the Bible.
Yeah.
Later on, when someone talked to John.
Yeah.
It says, they asked him, what then, are you Elijah? And he says, I am not.
I am not. Yeah.
Well, no, so it literally contradicts itself.
But he wasn't...
But then it says, are you the prophet? And he answered, no.
Yeah, so Jesus was...
Yeah, but Neo didn't think he was the one.
So Jesus was...
Can we do an episode about Bible metaphor in the Matrix?
Yeah. Go for it. So, no, Jesus, again, speaking metaphorically, like the people asking him at the time about Elijah and the message that Elijah brought. So Elijah was almost... A lot of what Elijah was saying was like a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, prepare yourselves because the Messiah is coming. And that's the same thing. So John's message is prepare... I come to prepare the way for the Lord. And a lot of what John the Baptist says is mental. Like, it's, like, really powerful and quite aggressive in his...
Was he, like, the kooky member of the band?
Well, he was... He kind of, like, lived in the wilderness and didn't stick around for too long because he'd upset people. Basically, his message was so aggressive. Not, like, angry, but just, like, this is what the Bible says and this is the gospel... You better sort your lives out quick.
Right.
And that's kind of mirrors what Elijah was saying. And that's what he was prophesying. So that's what Jesus was saying metaphorically, is that, okay, if you're looking for Elijah, John's your Elijah. He's your warning. He's, okay, if you're looking for, am I the Messiah? And is there anyone around who I can look to who's going to confirm that for me? John is your version of Elijah, who's telling you, get your lives ready because I'm the Messiah. So John's saying, I'm not Elijah. I guess would have just been his humility. I'm not a prophet. I'm not. And he even says to Jesus, I'm not worthy. I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy to tie up your sandals.
Right. Okay.
So I've
heard that.
That's his way of saying, no, I'm not Elijah. I'm not even a prophet. Don't talk to
Did
me.
Did he
about
fall
it.
To his knees and go, we're not worthy.
No, that's
I'm
Wayne's
not
word.
Worthy.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
It's a good movie.
Okay, we've got two more.
Cool.
The Missing Books of the Bible.
Yeah.
Is you that know this in one, the right? Alexandra, the Fire of Alexandra?
Let me play you a little video here.
Because the Fire of Alexandra burned loads of books, didn't it? Back in the day.
What's that?
The Fire of Alexandra.
No, these are books that were cut from the Bible before it was even out, before it was even published.
What, director's cut?
Yeah, it was directed cuts.
What was it? Like, Jesus, like,
well,
these are the,
slapping people?
These are what the Roman Church want people to think Christianity is.
This is apocryphy.
So before they edited out what they didn't want in the Bible before it was
even out. The
apocryphal
books are the ones, so...
The Bible was published in, like, 350-ish AD.
By Penguin.
So Jesus has already been dead a long time. So a lot of people that wrote the Bible, they say, weren't even eyewitnesses to what the Bible was even about. It was like put together to make a form of Christianity that the Romans wanted.
Right.
But we're going to get to that. This
Ooh,
is the juicy stuff.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the missing books.
The missing books of the Bible. At over 783,000 words and 1,189 chapters, the Bible is one of the longest texts ever written. It consists of 66 separate books, but surprisingly, this is meant to be 83. At least 17 books have mysteriously disappeared from our modern Bible, and no one knows what happened to them. We know that the books existed once because they are referred to in other parts of the Bible. For example, Chronicles 29:29 mentions the records of Nathan the prophet and Gad the seer, both of which seem to have mysteriously disappeared. Speculation is rife as to what could be included in the missing books, with one line of thought being that what they taught did not necessarily correlate with the desired Christian message, and they were deliberately omitted.
Just a brief little video to give you an overview of what we're talking about. What do you think?
I'm interested to hear what these books have.
Well, what do they have?
I don't know.
Me?
Yeah.
So...
He said there are references in the Bible to things that aren't in the Bible. They're like, see this book. And it's like, that book's not even anywhere.
Yeah.
Gad the Seer.
So they had Oh my God. So these books are collectively known as the apocryphal books or the apocryphal texts, and all that means is there are books that just weren't included in the Bible.
Basically, the big council sat around and said, "Not them ones."
It wouldn't have been. See, this is where it becomes like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have been that a group of 17 people who were against Christianity or were just complete nutcases wrote books, and then like the apostles sat down, like, okay, when they publish their books, ignore it. We are going to burn them. We're not going to make sure. It wasn't anything to do with that. You can go buy these books. You can go to Waterstones.
Even the ones about Gad the Seer and stuff?
Probably.
Where it was like, I don't know about Gad. I think there's some where it's like, there is some that were omitted, but you can still read them. And that's a lot of what like the Gnostic beliefs are about, right?
Yeah.
It's like the bits that were cut, they believe in that as well. So it's the canon Bible.
Yeah.
What's known as the canon Bible, which is the Bible that everyone has, the normal Bible. But then you can buy the Bible missing bits in, right? The director's cut Bible.
Yeah.
But that's not the canon Bible. That's like has other bits put in that were originally omitted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there are other books that are mentioned in the Bible, which no one's found. Like the records are lost of them completely.
Yeah. So two things. Okay. Gad, I don't know about Gad, but I know for certain because a few years ago I was walking around Waterstones. I was going on holiday, wanted some holiday reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think I bought some Chuck Palahniuk books.
Right, okay.
In the end. But I walked past and I'd seen so Thomas, as in the Thomas the Doubter.
The Flouting Thomas.
The Fat Controller. Gordon.
Rolled into the station.
No. So Thomas, he was a disciple, wrote a book.
And is that where the term Doubting Thomas comes from? Because he doubted people. Thomas the Doubtful.
No, it comes because when Jesus was resurrected and appeared to the disciples, he was the only one that was like, I need to, he wanted to like...
Wow, I never knew.
He wanted to
like
hold Jesus, he wanted to touch him.
I never knew.
At his hands and his side and all that kind of stuff.
I never knew Doubting Thomas was a biblical expression.
Yeah, a Doubting Thomas comes from the Bible.
Wow, I never knew that.
Because I always
wondered where that came from.
But the idea is it comes from, so people say that Thomas doubted because he wanted more evidence. So when Jesus walked in, everyone else was like, oh, Jesus. But Thomas was the only one that was like, I need to... I think he actually says, I want to,
put his finger through the hole.
I want to put your finger through...
That's what I remember. He wanted to put his finger through the hole in the hand of the nails.
Yeah, like, see your pierced side. Yeah. And Jesus obliges and says, all right.
Check this out.
Yeah, look at that. And then, but I, in my opinion, I don't think he's doubting. I think he just so adored Jesus that he was like, if it really is you, I need to know for sure.
Mm.
But anyway,
the missing books.
I think also the other one I saw was Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get that in Waterstones.
There is
quite a few others, obviously, but.
There's stuff about Mary Magdalene that I was going to talk about just then, but I think I'll save it for that episode because it's quite juicy.
Okay. But you can buy them. They're not mystical. They're not these crazy books that you have to like trek up a mountain and like go, like you'd have to be Indiana Jones.
Every now and then though, they do find old scriptures, so they think were supposed to be part of the Bible and no one's known what they were. But like the Dead Sea Scrolls, right?
Yeah. But you can refer to the Dead Sea Scrolls. I study the Dead Sea Scrolls quite often. But the reason these books wouldn't have been put into the Bible is largely because some of them, I mean, I've not read any of them, but what I know about it is that some of them, the reason they weren't included in canon is because some of them read like diaries.
Right.
So it's more like describing what they thought about Jesus or what they saw him do. And the reason they're not included is because they don't mirror up with other people's...
See, a lot of people think that it was the Roman emperors who were just like, that doesn't gel with what we want the people believing in.
Yeah.
There's a quote, actually, this is a quote from the Da Vinci Code.
Okay, go on.
The fundamental irony of Christianity, the Bible as we know it today, was colloted by the pagan Roman emperor Constantine the Great.
Okay.
But that's apparently untrue.
Yeah, it is.
He
collated the whole Bible.
When certain books were approved for the Bible, Constantine wouldn't have had any say in it. it wouldn't have been his say. What was approved and not.
It would have been his opinion.
Or did he? That's the conspiracy, or did he? But from what I looked, from what I read, what I looked at the day, it doesn't seem like it would have been his say. But then, who did decide? And there's a lot of debate over that, whether it be church councils. Some people just say that God himself decided. Like, people just knew what should be included. It was like God's will that certain books were included and some weren't.
But it would... So this is where people would talk about, like, oral tradition. And so obviously, you know, they wouldn't have had the technology that we have today. So we know that the 2014 tsunami happened because you can watch footage of it.
Mm-hmm.
We know it happened. It's evidence of it. So oral tradition would have come from... So you need to know... I'm just trying to think of an example. Say, for example, you guys both meet someone that we knew from school in London. You want to have a little chat with John in London.
Right, okay.
So you both meet up. If you guys wrote an account of the day,
they
would largely be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You would spot different things. Tis would spot different things.
I could see John seemed uneasy.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, or Tis might word it a different way, but the stories
John seemed boastful.
Yeah, the stories would be the same. If I then read an account of something else, and it was someone who I knew didn't know John as well as you,
mm-hmm.
then I would immediately discredit it, but you wouldn't be as interested in it.
Okay,
because it doesn't carry the same weight.
Some suggest that he said like 17 were removed in that video.
Yeah,
17 books. Some say it's 13. Some say it's more. Some say there was none removed. Whatever. Mm. Even though it's obvious there was some, because you can read the ones that were. So I don't know what the people that believe there was none removed. Whatever. I guess they're saying they were never put in the first place, so they can't be removed.
Yeah, they weren't. They wouldn't have been. It's not that they were removed; they just weren't put in. And it's precisely for the point. There's many, many reasons.
What the Book of Mormon is, isn't it?
Sorry,
that's what the Book of Mormon is, isn't it? Oh no, that wasn't. He didn't find any scrolls.
No, the book
God told him what to write. That's the Mormon. That's completely different.
Yeah,
but some of the missing books are said to have included things like more of the reincarnation stuff that we talked about, Jesus's marriage that they'd wanted to taken out.
Did he get married?
We'll get into this again.
Wow, did he?
We talked about this at the beginning. That's Mary Magdalene. Okay. That's a whole episode. About that now. We talked about that later.
Oh, okay. I want to know.
Thanks. Read the Watch the Da Vinci Code. It's all about it. It's that's a spoiler for the end.
Emily.
The actress who played Emily is in Da Vinci Code. She's like the main lead along with
Tom. Oh, yeah, I know that.
Emily's a great film.
It's good. Recommendation of the week, Emily. Okay.
Christ.
So I was on BibleStudyTools.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just wanted to know who decided. This is what it says. Who decided what belongs in the canon? Theologians are careful to note that the church didn't develop the canon. God did that by inspiring its writings and superintending each book's preservation. The church recognized this canon by experience and mutual agreement. That's all it says.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, some of that is kind of...
wishy-washy.
I mean, what they're saying is that it's divinely given by God.
Yeah.
But it would have come from the people that knew Jesus. So it largely would have been the apostles of what we would call the first century church. So if you look at like Paul, who wasn't a Christian, he had an experience and then became a Christian. But he I've lost my train of thought now. What were we just talking about?
We're talking about
who decided
the canon.
So it would be decided in the same way that I would decide what text to believe about John in London.
I think the whole conspiracy in the debate is, are the people who decided deciding for the benefit of the Roman Empire or for the benefit of truth, of a truthful account? Are they trying to control the masses by choosing certain books, or are they trying to just give the best stuff?
But the idea of the Roman Empire getting involved doesn't make any sense, because the following that Jesus had after his resurrection was tiny. There would have been about 500 people who saw Jesus. Well, the Bible says that Jesus then saw like 500 people to show that he'd been resurrected. The following, like the amount of people that stopped following Jesus when he died was massive.
Mm-hmm.
It cut his followers down.
Because it was like the unbreakable man
right down. So they saw his death and thought, well, that's it, it's over. They walked off. Mm. So it's pretty much the apostles. And even then, there was Peter who denied him and Judas hang himself. So if you want to say that the Roman Empire was getting involved,
it's a bit silly because there wouldn't have been many people following him anyway. Right. So it would have been down to, like I say, like the first century church, the first century believers. And it's only when you, if you read Acts 2, that's when it really kind of cranks it right up. But yeah, I can see why people would say that, but I don't see why they would want to try and control the masses.
Mm-hmm. This is why I said it was like Bob versus Beef, because I'm putting these conspiracies and it's almost like, not that I'm like, defend this, but I know you're going to have like your opinion on it. So it's like, this is what people think. Go. I've got one more.
Oh, go on.
And this is the juiciest one. That's why I said it to the last, because this is...
Is that pun intended?
This is meaty. What?
Juiciest.
No, that's not pun.
Juiciest.
She's
juiciest.
No.
Jesus was Jewish.
No, this is...
Is he Jewish?
Yeah.
So this is this is the most controversial one. It's a very well-known theory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the theory that Christ was a complete myth and he never existed.
Right. I don't know where to go from there because it seems like there's more evidence the other way.
Okay. The Christ myth theory is the proposition that Christianity started with the belief in a new deity named Jesus, who was later historicized in the Gospels, which are essentially allegory and fiction. Alternately, in simpler terms given by Bart Ehrman, the historical Jesus did not exist, or if he did, he had virtually nothing to do with the founding of Christianity.
Hmm. Where are they basing that on?
Okay, this is some of the key arguments that he didn't exist. No historians of the time mentioned Jesus in any of their writings. Other than the Bible, around the time of his actual life, actually the Bible wasn't even written around the time of his actual life. For someone who was creating such a hubbub and stuff, there's no historical writings of the time of him being alive that had him in it. Historical writings that had him in it came out like after the Bible was already written.
Okay.
So that's 350 years later. You think if something that big was going on, there'd be some historical record of the time.
One thing I'd say to debunk that slightly.
Okay, yeah, go.
History is always written by the victors, right?
Right.
So if the Romans didn't like Jesus, maybe they wouldn't write about him.
Okay, or they would write about him after they wanted to use him to suppress certain people.
I don't know. I guess if they hated him and killed him, like if we killed, who's that dude, WikiLeaks? Julian Assange. We probably wouldn't write about him. We'd just keep him hush-hush.
Right.
That's the government. Okay. It's Julian Assange. Not that that's... he's Jesus. That's all.
Now, one of the words in this is a quote. The only history of his life comes from four, quote, anonymously written gospels.
Mm-hmm.
There were historians that wrote about him.
Okay. All of the evidence boils down to hearsay. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to play a little video now.
Okay.
And then we'll come back. So this is Bart Ehrman, who was mentioned at the beginning of that, who was one of the writers. I'm just going to play like 2 minutes of this video of him. And the title of this video is Gospels Were Not Written by Eyewitnesses and There is no Jesus in historical record. So he's getting right to the point of what I was just saying.
The truth may not be what you were taught, but if it's true, you should believe it, not run from it. As I studied more and more using my intelligence as an evangelical, but also praying about it, I became convinced that the New Testament Gospels were not written by eyewitnesses or by people who knew eyewitnesses. The first point to make is the rather obvious one that the Gospels don't claim to be written by eyewitnesses. They are all anonymous. The titles in your Gospels, the Gospel according to Matthew and so forth, were added by later editors. They were not put there by the original authors. Second point, none of the Gospels claims to be written by the person whose name it bears. They don't claim to be written by eyewitnesses, and they don't claim to be written by people named Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are later traditions that were added to the Gospels. These traditions do not start appearing for about 100 years. Some people think that there is an early church father named Papias who attests to the witness of Mark and Matthew. But in fact, there are very solid reasons for thinking that Papias, who lived around the year 120 to 140, is not referring to our Mark or our Matthew. The first time anybody refers to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John by name is Irenaeus in the year 180. But the unfortunate thing about Jesus is that we have such scanty documentation about his life. Most people don't realize this, but Jesus is never mentioned in any Greek or Roman non-Christian source until 80 years after his death. There is no record of Jesus having lived in these sources. In the entire first Christian century, Jesus is not mentioned by a single Greek or Roman historian, religion scholar, politician, philosopher, or poet. His name never occurs in a single inscription, and it is never found in a single piece of private correspondence. Zero, zip, references.
Keyword there, why I wanted to play that first, when you said there is written, no non-Christian writings mention him until 80 years after his death, which is quite a long time.
It is quite a long time. But people wouldn't even query that Julius Caesar was someone who lived.
Mm-hmm.
But people didn't start writing about him until like 300 years later or something like that. I've got a video I'd like to recommend in
I'll put it on the website
to that. Well, there is. There's plenty of people that wrote about him at the mm-hmm. time. So I don't know why. He seems like an angry bloke. So I don't know where. What's his name?
His name is Bart Ehrman.
Right.
He was even cited on the Christ Myth Theory Wikipedia page, which I read from before. So he's quite a high standing believer in the Christ Myth Theory.
Yeah.
Which is one of the biggest biblical conspiracies.
Yeah.
Do you put any weight into anything he said, Tizzy?
I don't know. I've not read any of those texts, but I know a lot of people that I listen to, even they would say that Jesus was a philosopher in the early years.
This is why I found this interesting, actually, because I've always considered, even as an atheist, I've always thought, okay, so I'm not a Christian, I don't believe in Christianity and the words of the Bible, but I would expect that Jesus was a real person. But in my opinion, it's like he is the figure to represent this belief. I always figured that he was a real historical person. So this, to me, I never realized how big this conspiracy is, this Christ myth theory. But it was all news to me. Like, even as an atheist, I always thought Jesus was a real person. But some of it was quite interesting to read up on. So
one of my favourite painters, actually, Hieronymus Bosch. There's not a lot of information about him, apart from where he was born, but he painted loads of shit. So that was only 13th century.
But what they say is, this is an article also from The Independent, which I was reading. I'm not going to take much from it, but the link will be on the website if you want to read more. This is an article about the author Joseph Atwill. He wrote Caesar's Messiah, The Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus. And he said that the story of Jesus Christ was, quote, fabricated to pacify the poor. He said that Christianity was a sophisticated government propaganda exercise used to pacify the subjects of the Roman Empire. And this is a quote from him, that Christianity was developed and used as a system of mind control. He said that all of Jesus' life story can be traced to other sources. So everything about Jesus, you can trace it to stories older than him. It's like they took elements from loads of ancient things like Greek myth, Egyptian mythology. There's a lot of Horus's life story in Jesus's story. And it's like they took bits all over and created this new religion, which new then God, they could control people with, like made it as a form of mind control and then promoted this new deity, this new religion. That's what this guy gets at on this article, which I'll put a link to. It's from The Independent. And I have another video here, which just is quite a high, well-known atheist guy. So he's a bit of a blowhard, like most high-ranking atheist guys. I don't know if you've heard of him, Robert M. Price.
No.
But he's author of The Christ Myth Theory and Its Problems. But he talks about all, this is just a quick video that he talks about a lot of the figures that Jesus' story can be taken from and compares it to stuff.
There's
I found
also
this quite interesting.
Documentary on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot about this in it as well.
The documentary that Beef was talking about, I'm not sure if it's available on Netflix or not, but the documentary he recommends is called Patterns of Evidence, Exodus, which was a 2014 documentary. So this is Debunking the Jesus Myth. Robert M. Price is on YouTube.
The crowning of Jesus, that's part of, by the people, hail the son of David and all that, as Dundas points out, that's a classic part of the mythic hero archetype. But then the same people turn on him. The same kind of reversal happens there. I forgot to say the persecution by a tyrant when he's an infant. That's told of Caesar Augustus, Moses, Krishna, Zoroaster, and so on and so on. The passion narrative, that's most like the dying and rising God thing. But even if you secularize it and have him stand trial before the Roman procurator, there's a very similar one in Apollonius's life, where he's made to stand trial before the Emperor Domitian and miraculously gets out of it. The notion of post-mortem appearances, Romulus, who vanishes during a battle, no one can find any trace of him. He appears several times to the senators and others, and he says in one version, "I've now become the god Quirinus." In another one, he said, "I was a god and came to earth." But in any event, they say he was a king of Rome, and he said, "One day Rome will become a great empire if you guys go forth and spread my worship," and so on. Apollonius even appears in a Doubting Thomas story to one disciple who just cannot believe in immortality and figures even the sage is dead, even though he's ascended bodily into heaven. And Apollonius appears to him, though no one else can see him, and convinces him that indeed he's immortal, and so will the disciple be. The empty tomb stories, you find a few of those in contemporary novels, like Caritan's Chaereas and Caliroe, where this guy's lover has been killed, he thinks, though she's only in a coma. She's been prematurely buried in an opulent tomb, and he comes to visit, but in the meantime, the tomb robbers, seeing that it is a rich person's tomb, figure there must be all kinds of goodies in there they can steal, so they open it up, and she's reviving, and they don't want a witness left of their theft, so they kidnap her. Here come her friends and relatives to find the tomb open, and the grave clothes left there, and says, "Oh, the gods have taken her up. They were jealous of me and my love," and then he realizes that no, she's just been kidnapped, and goes off to find her. And in the course of the adventure, he gets crucified but survives it. And the same thing happens in a few more of these novels all around the second century. Well, you got crucified heroes that survive the cross. You got people that are entombed alive in rich people's tombs to attract tomb robbers. And then you have a final reunion scene where they think, "You must be a ghost. I gave you up for dead long ago. No, it's really me." You begin to think all of this stuff was well known. These are popular novels and popular myths and so forth. Is it pure coincidence that this stuff shows up in the Gospels? I don't think so. I just don't see how you can say, "Oh, no, none of that matters." I'm a big comic book fan. Suppose you said, well, Batman, the Martian Man, Hunter the Green Lantern, well, these are clearly just fiction, but Superman, now that really happened. There's just no reason to think that. They're all comic books. And so I just see the same thing. In fact, there's this great 60s story about Superboy.
He goes on a tangent about Superboy there, so I'm just going to go. If you want to watch the whole video, it's I'll put it on the blog. So here's just him saying, taking just top of his head, obviously he's a well-read guy, whatever you think of him, but he's off the top of his head thinking of many things about the Jesus story and saying, well, this is similar to this story and this story and this story, and these are all well-known at the time. It's a bit of a coincidence that this happened and then this happened and this happened and this happened, and this is like this God and this is like that.
Yeah, the Christ myth people. I know about these guys. They're these atheists that have got a bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's lots of fiction at the time that had these kind of myths. There's lots of things about Herods and so on and so forth. But I just think, and actually, if you look at quite a lot of the stuff that people argue back with, they don't answer it. They won't address some of the stuff which this video addresses. They won't address it. So they seem to have the similar kind of spiel that they'll churn out time and time again.
I mean, all the guys I watched who believed in this Christ myth theory, they all seem very similar.
Yeah.
it was hard for me to like choose what one to play because they all seem, obviously they're putting the same thought across, but there was not much diversity in the type of person they were. They all had that same, this and this and this and you're wrong and this is, which I found quite tiring watching these all afternoon.
It's quite exhausting to listen to because they don't seem to explain, it's just one guy going, and what about that? And this, and what about that? And you're like, okay, so you've read some stories.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem to, they don't seem to kind of put it together. It doesn't seem to gel together enough for me to think, well, hang on a minute.
As someone in the middle, Tissy, do you think there's any weight to the similarities in popular stories at the time?
Yeah, they're pretty similar. But then, I mean, maybe it was just similar because those were the sort of times they lived in. That was the sort of crucifixions were rife. All this other stuff was rife. That's, do you know what I mean? Like, great.
That's like an argument for and against.
Yeah.
It's like, those sort of things happened all the time, so they were in stories and they happened in real life. Or, like, yeah, these things happen all the time, so it's relatable for the masses, for this story we're going to make up.
Yeah. It can go either
way, can't it? The video that you can find on YouTube, which I could play as, like, a comeback to what these guys are saying, or you can...
I can insert it on the episode.
If you want to watch the whole thing, you can, but obviously it sounds like Bob's going to pop it in the episode.
I'm going to insert it.
It's
because I know we're getting on for time.
If you search Student Alpha, you come to this playlist of 11 videos, and if you go to week one, Who is Jesus? I can't ever remember this guy's name. So he talks a lot about textual criticism.
Okay.
And Bob's going to pop it in.
And I'll probably insert a little clip of it on this episode.
But these guys, the Christ Myth guys, have been asked time and time again about the textual criticism, and they don't seem to have a cohesive comeback for it. So, but yeah, it's fair enough. I understand completely that people would think he's a myth.
So I'm just going to jump in here to insert the video that Beef was just talking about.
What is the evidence for Christianity? For starters, did Jesus even exist? Now, regardless of their religious belief, no serious historian would deny that Jesus of Nazareth existed. All would agree that there's simply too much evidence that the man walked on planet Earth. For example, the Roman historians Tacitus and Suetonius speak about him. The Jewish historian Josephus, writing very close to Jesus' time, he said this: "Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it's lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works." There is evidence outside the New Testament from credible historical sources. There's also, maybe obviously, lots of evidence inside the New Testament. Many people say, well, yeah, but hang on, the Bible was written a long time ago. How do we know? How can we trust it? How do we know that what we have today is what the original authors wrote? We can be confident, actually, about what the New Testament writers wrote through a science called textual criticism. And basically, the idea is this: when you read a book that's a copy of an ancient manuscript of any kind, you can ask two questions of that. That's going to help you know that what you are reading is actually very accurate and what the original author wrote. The first is, how quickly after the original was written did someone make a copy? Secondly, how many copies are there? For example, Herodotus, written in the 5th century BC, the earliest copy that we have is around AD 900, 1300 year gap. Caesar's Gallic War, 950 year gap between the original and the first copy. Livy's Roman History, 900 year gap between the original and the first copy. And no classical scholar would doubt the authenticity of those works. So how about the New Testament? The books of the New Testament were written between 40 and 100 AD. The earliest copies that we have begin in AD 130. And we have full manuscripts by AD 350. So depending on how you see it, there is at most only a 300-year gap. And at the very least, a 30-year gap between the original and the earliest dated copy that we have. What about the number of copies of each? Herodotus, 8 copies. Caesar's Gallic War, 10 copies. Livy's Roman History, 20 copies. The New Testament, 24,300 copies. 5,309 Greek manuscripts, 10,000 Latin manuscripts, 9,300 other. You look at this and you see that the New Testament stands out absolutely unapproachably alone amongst ancient prose writings. And it's crucial to note that right from the beginning, that no secular historian would disagree with that conclusion. So there's all kinds of evidence that Jesus existed.
I'm just going to play 1 minute of one last video. This is it's very strange to me. Like, it's so different to the other. You know, I said they're all similar. This one was so different. It's almost is the delivery of like a black gospel church, but it's like they're all atheists.
Right.
And the delivery of it is like, you know, a black minister, but it is like an anti-Christianity gathering. So I'm just going to play the first minute of this.
If you can show me the grave site.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This guy, what he's saying is that not only is Jesus not real, everything that happened in the Bible is real, and everyone that's mentioned in the Bible is fictional.
Okay.
Okay.
Seems like too exhausting to put that all together, but yeah.
If you can show me the grave site of anybody mentioned in the Bible. I told him about Jesus there. Well, you ain't going to find Jesus there because he got up. Okay. Let's do anybody. Anybody. If you can show me, take me to the grave site of one person mentioned in the Bible, I will pay all your living expenses to the day I die. I've been putting that challenge out over the internet, over the world for years, because they never existed. We're talking allegorical people. No. No. Never existed. Now, there was, according to the Hebrew writings of the Talmud, there was a guy named Yahshua ben Pandera, okay, who was supposedly existed 100 years B.C. See, when everybody repeat after me, say it this way. When you don't have a past, you must create myths to supplement the facts of your existence. See?
But he just got them to say that.
See? You said it.
Yeah. So he's quite extreme.
That is ridiculous.
It started off like a comedy bit.
Yeah. I'll tell you why.
He's very charismatic, I'll give him that.
Yeah. That's like saying, you show me the gravestone for any soldier that died in World War II. Because if you go to some of these mass burial sites left over from World War II, a lot of these gravestones don't have names on them. So you're trying to tell me they don't exist? That's ridiculous. That's precisely what he's saying. He's saying, well, that gravestone doesn't exist, so that person didn't exist.
I cut the video there because then he went off on a rant about how the church only exists to keep black people down, and that's like a whole nother thing.
Okay.
And there's a lot of also talk. I was going to include a talk about it, but decided not to. It's about the mark of Cain.
Right.
Some people saying that the mark of Cain, which is like the mark of evil, right? The mark of the devil, something like that.
No, this is people. Yeah, this is people getting too het up over symbolism.
Because you know what I'm going to say, that the mark of Cain is black skin.
Right, no.
Okay, that's what they were getting at.
Okay.
A lot of people on some of these conspiracy websites and stuff like that, and readings from the Bible, interpretations, but saying that the mark of Cain was black skin, and therefore the Bible is like anti-black, which I think is an unnecessary and invalid viewpoint.
It just doesn't.
You can, like people say, you can find stuff in the Bible to prove whatever you want if you read it and say, well, if you interpret it like this, it means this.
Same as Harry Potter.
Same as Harry Potter.
Same as anything. You can read any text and read anything you want into it if you want to. Time in your hands.
But I'm just going to wrap this up now. The evidence, what people could say is the evidence of the existence of Jesus Christ. I look for what people say is the main evidence, and it all boiled down to, everyone says, well, the evidence of Jesus Christ actually being real is the Bible.
Okay.
And that was the only evidence that a lot of people were putting forward. So I'm just going to read this. I read when I started the Christ myth theory thing. I read from the Wikipedia page. There's two paragraphs that explain what it is. I read the first. I'm just going to read the second one. In modern scholarship, the Christ myth theory is a fringe theory not supported by any tenured specialists in biblical criticism or cognate disciplines. The Christ myth theory contradicts the mainstream historical view, which is that while the Gospels include many mythical or legendary elements, these are religious elaborations added to the biography of a historical Jesus who did live in the first century Roman Palestine, was baptized by John the Baptist, and was crucified by the order of the Roman prefect Pontius Pilate, which is more, in my believing, I always believe him to be a historical figure, but I'm not a Christian.
That's precisely why the Christmas guys, they don't, you won't find, this is what I'm saying, you won't find, and Rachel would say the same thing, you wouldn't find a credible historian or theologian amongst any of them.
I thought I'd save that paragraph to the end, because it would like put your mind at ease that this is like a real fringe belief.
And they won't answer you. I've seen debates with these guys. They don't have any intelligent they don't have anything intelligent to offer when you debate with them. It's just,
well, the word I used earlier.
They just keep repeating the
like
same
I said,
stuff.
They're blowhards. They're just blowhards. It's beating you down with their opinion. They don't want to hear both sides of the story. They don't want to think. But there we go. I felt like I wasn't very attacking.
No.
This is really just sort of an introduction to my biblical conspiracies. The juicy stuff, it will be in the next ones, which won't be my next episodes. I will come back to them eventually, though.
The name of the guy, I know you're going to listen to it in the episode anyway, but yes. The name of the guy, in case you're interested, is Jamie Haith. And he's the guy who tells us who Jesus is.
Okay.
But it's part of the Alpha series.
Any closing thoughts before I do the outro shit?
No. It was really interesting to listen to it, and I'm very aware of... the only one I didn't know about was the alien.
Right, okay.
Jesus being alien.
When I left the house today, Becca said, don't fall out with Beef.
No.
And I said, look, if Beef falls out of me or gets offended by anything I've got to put to him on this episode... then, in my opinion, he's not steadfast enough in his own faith.
Yeah. No, I knew we weren't.
So when I was hyping it up, being like Bob versus Beef, and I'm going to do it when I promote the episode anyway, but when I was tweeting about it earlier, it's just me being a hype man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it. When this comes out, it's going to be like, the epic showdown, Bob v. Beef. I'm going to put some Wild West, like, showdown music at the start of the episode and stuff. So while we wrap up, listener of the week this week, I want to give it to Peter Gearing, who got hold of us via Facebook. I was really late in getting back to you, Peter, because I was moving house and I saw your message like 2 weeks after you sent it. But he sent us a message from the past. He's on like episode whatever we recorded last April, and he's like, I'm really enjoying it so far, can't wait to get up to speed. So when he finally does get up to speed, he's going to realise that he was listener of the week eventually. Awesome. So this is us from the future, or when you listen to it from the past, saying you're listener of the week, Peter.
Welcome to the future.
Listener of the week.
You can find us, all the usual stuff. You can contact us, unexplainableuk@mail.com. You can go on weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, where you can find links to our Twitters, Facebooks. You can contact us there. You can find the blogs, all the links to the show, and I do recommend looking at some of them, because there's a lot of stuff I didn't have time to get into. You can also donate there, and you become a patron via Patreon, which is patreon.com/weirdtalesandtheunexplainable, where you can set up a monthly subscription of as little as $1 a month with plenty of different rewards, more of which we're going to add soon. I was thinking of setting up like a little monthly mini pod to put on the Patreon where it's like Ask Weird Tales. So you can ask us questions, or like ask for relationship advice, ask for life advice.
That'd be amazing, I'd love to.
And we'll be like your dear Deirdre's. That's a reference. That's a reference for UK listeners only. We're going to be your dear Deirdre's for once a month. If you've got your questions, I'm going to set that as the next tier on Patreon. So Ask Weird Tales mini pod. Send us your problems or questions. If you just want to ask something of us, you ask it. But I want to get into more like late night talk radio style. Okay. I think that'd be fun. I'm also going to send out a couple of things for listeners. So someone in America, I'm going to send you my badge I got from the Victor Wind Museum from the Weird London episode. So contact me and let me know if you want it. And someone in the UK, you're going to get a poorly printed Sage and Prey t-shirt in size either L or XL. I can't remember what I've got leftovers of. But I'm going to send someone in the UK a Sage and Prey t-shirt. They are only owned by members of Weird Tales and they're not getting printed when we make our t-shirts.
That is exclusive.
This is exclusive. We're not doing the Sage and Prey designs when we set up the t-shirts, which are coming for people to ask. Sean literally just asked me while I was recording this episode. They're coming. I've just moved house. I'm going to be on that as soon as possible. I'm just going to jump in one last time for a couple more extra bits of information. You have another episode next week. There's a special episode that I did without the other two guys, which is going up next week. And then the week after that, you have the next regular episode. So you're getting 3 weeks in a row of Weird Tales. And also, the outro music this week, I wanted to start putting in music from listeners. I know lots of our listeners make their own music or in bands, and I really wanted to try and support that as someone who used to be in bands and does still create music from time to time, and as does Tiss. So the outro music this week is supplied by Your Secret Diary, which is a musical project of one of our listeners. And you can find links to listen to his other stuff on our website. And if you make music of your own, let us know. And we'd love to feature some more music from listeners at the end of our episodes for the outro music. So, that was a long outro.
Boom. Done.
Done?
Done.
Until next time. Do you think of one?
Christ, you're late.
Yeah, Christ on a bike. That was a long episode. Heaven's hells and purgatory. When this something started, no one knew. Can endless space really be true? Is even nothing something to? Can you light a fuse in LAU? What's it got fearing physicists to do? The Big Bang and creation too. Big Bang not popping off, eternally expanding substratum, each given universe. If that's what you choose to believe.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.